Welcome to Office Hours with Adam Peterson, where I talk to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts to find answers to those day-to-day questions about life and work in Luxembourg. If you have questions you'd like answered, let me know at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to today's show. So in this week's Office Hours, we have an entrepreneurial inquiry. And today's entrepreneur grew up in Kenya, but today they are talking to me at RTL in Kirchberg. My guest today is Bernard Ndolo, founder of JBIT and At Your Service. Welcome, Bernard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. So glad to be here.
Let's start by attacking some of the preconceptions head on. So today is a miserable and grey day in Luxembourg, raining. So you grew up in Kenya?
I did grow up in Kenya.
So tell me back to Kenya. Was it all sun and amazing lush green fields, or was it something different?
Oh, man. You know, Kenya is like, you know, it's, of course, we are on the equator, and it's always sunny. So we'd never have any kind of cold periods because I grew up in Nairobi and I was born in Nairobi. And yeah, I think my first encounter with real cold was when I came to do my studies in the UK.
So let's not take you out of Nairobi too quickly then. So how big is Nairobi? How many people live there or were living there when you were growing up?
Oh man, I've lost track of that actually. I think we're almost about 5 million people in Nairobi City, just in Nairobi City. It's a massive big city.
Yeah, and when you grew up, you have siblings?
Yes, I do. I have a brother.
Older, younger?
Younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you grew up in Nairobi with your brother, then school through?
Yep, I did all my schooling in Kenya, and then I went for my first year university in Kenya. And that's when actually my uncle, who lives in the UK, got in touch with my dad and said, listen, there's some great opportunities over here for me to explore the world and just to see what's possible, you know. And I'd never been out of my own country. And
before we get to that cold weather that's probably coming in London then, or in England.
Yeah.
So just that time in Kenya when you were going to university, so what degree did you do?
So my first degree, which was supposed to be done, my dad runs a business. He runs a printing company, and I was supposed to go to university, do finance, and come and take over help him run the company, you know.
So that's what I was pushing on, the entrepreneurial spirit. So it's in the genes. It's in your father was an entrepreneur then.
Yeah, my dad is still an entrepreneur. Still hustles every day.
And did you have any side hustles when you were growing up and when you were going through school?
No, you know what? Actually, I didn't really. I mean, I think the only side hustle I used to run when I was in school was. There was this brand of sweets that once was launched, which was very new into the country. And for some reason, I don't know why, there was only two or three shops which were selling it. And they were located in my particular area and nowhere else. And because word went around, you know, there was no social media during that time. And word went around and I just went and I bought a bunch of sweets. And I said, you know, came to school with them, and all of a sudden, you know, I started selling them for that time it was 20 cents or something like that. And I think that was my first kind of,
if you were selling them for 20 cents, what were you buying them for? Were you buying them for 10 or for 2 or for 19?
You know, almost like 5 cents or something.
You're full-time, you make market 4 times.
and at one time, I actually even tripled the price because demand got so high. But it was just one of those, I didn't even know what I was doing. It's just one of those things where it was just like, okay, there's this bunch of sweets. It seems to be nowhere else. Nobody seems to be able to know. I knew where to get them because for any apparent reason, it was just next to my house. And yeah, I think, and I went to school. I started selling them for a little bit more. And
You were learning your entrepreneurial skills, even though you weren't doing it purposefully.
Exactly.
It was
one of those fun. And I got, I found myself making lots of money.
What did you spend it on?
You know what? I literally just bought more sweets. Like literally bought more sweets. And before I learned my first lesson of entrepreneurship, before I realized is people had caught on to the gist.
Okay.
And the sweets, that particular brand of sweets had spread all over the place. And by the time I realized, everybody had the suite. So my kind of markup price was not working anymore. And
so you found yourself with a great big of stock
exactly,
that you were left eating for the next two years.
Exactly, exactly. It's like, that's the thing. But it was good fun. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't know what I was doing. It was just get into it. And an opportunity came up. And
if that was good fun then, so you're at university, then your uncle suggests you go to England, and then you hit England, and the cold weather was probably not good fun when you got there.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about that part of your life.
So my first encounter with the cold, I'll never forget it. I arrived in the UK on the 1st of January, 1999. And I remember I was, I landed in Heathrow Airport, and I had this jean jacket, and I walked out of the airplane, and this burst of cold hit me, and I was like, what the hell? Sorry. I remember walking to the customs, because the migration official, and I was shaking like a leaf. And I still don't know until this day how the man did not put me aside and ask me to do a drug test. Because I was literally there. But I think he looked at me, and I think he's seen so many people, you know, from different parts of the world, especially from Africa, who have come there, dressed, really underdressed. And he was like, okay, here's one of them again.
You were shaking because of the cold?
I was shaking because of the cold, you know, it was crazy. So that was my first encounter of the cold.
And that was for your more studies then when you were in London, is that right?
Yeah, so I did my university in London, and I was supposed to do finance, my dad sent me to go and do that. I mean, that was the plan.
But you had a different plan, I'm guessing.
When I got there, I hated it. I couldn't stand it. You know what? I really couldn't stand finance. But I think one of the things that really kind of changed my perception about it was my roommates at that moment in time were doing computer science. And it's one of those things, again, it was my really first encounter with computers. Like, back home during that time, we never really worked with computers or anything like that. So they were working on this really cool stuff. And here I am with my finance books, economics, and all kind of stuff. And I hated every moment of it. And I remember the hardest phone call I had to do was a year after being studying. I had to make this phone call to my dad and tell him, you know, Dad, I'm switching. I can't do this anymore, you know.
And you switched topics then?
Yeah, I switched.
Easier than if you'd had to call them and say you're dropping out completely. So it was, the blow was softened a little bit. At least you were still studying.
Yeah. I think that was the encounter which I had to do. And I think until today it was one of the hardest phone calls I had to make, because my dad had so much expectations about me coming back home and running the company and all those type of things. Yeah, so
you didn't go back home though, but you somehow got to Luxembourg. So walk me through how you got to studying. So you then moved on to computer science?
Yeah.
How do you get from computer science in London to being an entrepreneur in Luxembourg?
Yeah, so as we were working, I met my wife in the same university, and she was also studying business administration, and she worked for this organization, which was a local commune. And during that time, I also got an opportunity to work in the same place, you know, but more on the computer side of it. And during that time, she's from Slovakia. The Central European countries and Eastern European countries were joining the EU. And she applied for this job for the European Union. And long story short, she managed to get the job. I didn't even know where Luxembourg was. I remember the first time we had a discussion about it, it was like, oh, I got this great opportunity in Luxembourg. And I was like, Luxembourg, what? I know. And yeah, I mean, and then, yeah, we moved to Luxembourg. And
so you came here as a, I think the term that I don't like is trailing spouse. So you came as the trailing spouse.
Yeah, I came over straight.
Did you work here as an employee to start off with, or did you launch your career straight away as an entrepreneur?
So during that time, there were really some tight restrictions in regards to people who were married, but they were not EU citizens. So they had really like kind of really tough working restrictions. So, but I was really lucky because I got to find a friend who was had this amazing charity. I think it was called Clowns for Hospitals and something. And she gave me this opportunity to work on their IT operations bit of it, which is great. Did it as a volunteer, and I had a great time doing it. And then as I developed my network, I found an incredible opportunity by which I met this, I won't reveal the person, but they'd made an incredible success of selling one of the big companies of the world in terms of today's Skype. I'll just say the company was Skype. And so there was this bunch of really young entrepreneurs who had made a lot of money, and they were all building their dream houses at that time. And during that time, my contact at that moment, he wanted to have smart home built into this house, you know, like all. And you know, this is way back in the days, you know, almost 19 years ago.
This is like turning the lights on and turning the cooker on and sitting there on your phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing music through rooms and all those sorts of things. Yeah.
The iPhone had just been launched, I think, a year before, if I'm not mistaken. And smart home technology was not where it was today, you know. We somehow got along with it. We became good friends, and he said, listen, I'm working on this project in my house, and can you help me develop this solution for smart home technology? And I was like, you know, I didn't have any kids at that moment in time. So it was like, why not? Let's just go for it, you know? So
and that developed. So you've got the two companies we mentioned at the top of the show were JBIT and At Your Service.
So At Your Service is something I began 4 years ago. So that's way later. JBIT was the beginning.
The J in JBIT?
So J in JBIT is my wife's name, Yana.
Ah, okay.
And then the B is my name, Bernard, and then IT.
Ah, brilliant.
Yeah.
So you started JBIT, and that's been going well. So then tell me about At Your Service then. So what's At Your Service and how did that come along?
Yeah, so At Your Service actually came as an opportunity where we got a chance to buy our first home in Luxembourg, and we built it all the way from scratch. And you know, it was my first encounter with the service business in Luxembourg in terms of all the people who deliver services, the construction services, and the multiple people who work in the industry. And the experience was really, really bad. You know, it was almost like begging them for service. And it took me a while to really kind of understand why was this actually happening. And throughout it, I found out that actually a big part of why getting great service in Luxembourg was so hard, and it's still very hard, was just because a lot of these businesses are just super inefficient. They are super inefficient. And they haven't managed to understand how to use technology to really kind of streamline their operations and just make themselves more efficient. So a big part of the big challenge that a lot of them have was, again, the industry is now changing quite rapidly, but during that time, is they took too many customers on board. Basically, they couldn't meet the demands of those customers because they didn't have the resources, human resources especially, but at the same time they didn't have the technology resources to be able to find out where to stream. So I said, this is a great opportunity. Nobody seemed to have solved it.
So At Your Service is helping companies develop their service to individuals.
So At Your Service, basically we develop tools that enable service businesses to be able to serve more customers faster, in a more efficient way, and also in a more reliable way. So more or less like streamline the operations, but we give them incredible tools by which they can be able to discover where they're inefficient and be able to say, okay, yeah, this is how we can use this particular tool to actually serve our customers much, much more faster and more reliably, and at the same time offer them great customer service. while doing that.
I don't want to get too deep into your service, because that could be a whole episode, and maybe you'd be talking about the customer service in Luxembourg on a different episode, on a different series. But so far we've tracked your journey from Kenya through to Kirchberg. So let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll ask you some more insights about yourself and reflections to help other people. So welcome back. In part one, we looked at Bernard's journey from Kenya to Kirchberg. And in part two, we're going to ask him about some of his qualities and lessons. But I'm going to start by attacking one head on. So in part one, I opened with the prejudice and stereotypes about the weather, how it's awful in Luxembourg and sunny every day in Kenya. So Bernard, sticking on that theme, you talked about being a third country national, how that made it hard to start work when you moved to Luxembourg. How has it been? Have you found that prejudice, stereotypes, discrimination has affected your career or encouraged you or even forced you to be more entrepreneurial?
I think my experience in Luxembourg, and I'm talking about my experience specifically, because everybody has a different experience, so I cannot speak for anybody else. But I would say for my particular experience is Luxembourg has been pretty good to me. I think London really kind of opened up my mind in regards to just exposing me to the whole global community and different people and how to interact with them. And that was a great learning experience, which, again, when we moved to Luxembourg, it kind of opened up. Luxembourg is a very kind of multicultural, multinational kind of country. So that really, again, moving to Luxembourg was more or less like moving from London to Luxembourg. So I would say in terms of all the type of experiences that you'd have at the third national, especially if you're coming from Africa, etc., I haven't really experienced it. But I think one of the things that I always say, and I always tell everybody this, no matter where you come from in this world, is, you know, you have to be... your word is your bond, and people will always have a stereotypical idea or perception of who you are, and from what they what they've experienced previously, or what they think they know. And I think it's how you interact with them and how you deal with them, kind of, as Obama would say, give them that learning, teaching moment.
Yeah.
And I think once you do that, if somebody has a more stereotypical idea about a particular person or where they come from or who they are, I think it goes away. But you have to really show them who you are and so, kind of give it like a teachable moment.
Yeah, so that puts you on to kind of the next question. So what I'm hearing you say is that people, once you demonstrate who you are, you give them the word, they build that relationship, then you've been successful. Now, you, JBIT, started... what year did JBIT start? 20 years ago?
Oh, God. 17 years ago,
17 years ago. So I was doing some teaching at Luxembourg School of Business, and I think 80% of companies fail within the first 2 years or something. So you've been going for 16, 17 years.
Yeah.
So what has been the secret to that success? Is it your talent, your hard work, or is it luck?
So I would say the first one, first and foremost, is it's hard work. It's really hard work. You have to have that. And the second thing is, I would say, it's just the passion. You really have to love what you do. Otherwise, that's your fuel. That's what drives you. That's what motivates you, you know.
And your passion is technology, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And my passion is basically working with technology and seeing it empower whether businesses, individuals, and when the when the customers tell me that this is great, it's helping us be more efficient or succeed in particular areas that we were not doing before, that's what really kind of motivates you to say, yeah, I'm doing something really positive here.
Yeah, and full disclosure, Bernard was teaching me how to use AI a couple of weeks ago. So Bernard is an early adopter of these technologies. Hard work is the key one out of those three.
Yeah, absolutely. And in Luxembourg, and I presume it's everywhere else, you really have to develop a network. And that's something that it comes with the hard work too. You really have to develop a network of people who will be able to open doors for you that you'd not otherwise open by yourself. So that's really kind of, but again, the door's only open by you demonstrating that you're able to deliver what you say you're going to deliver.
I think you're being too humble, because one of your talents, I see, you say developing a network, but making those connections to people and building that network. So I've never met anyone, when I mention you, everyone always says, oh, Bernard, such a nice guy, such a nice guy. So I think that's a talent of yours. That's definitely a talent. So what advice would you have for other would-be entrepreneurs out there?
I would say, I think if I had one advice for in Luxembourg, and I'm talking about specifically for Luxembourg, is the money part is important, but you really have to love what you're doing. You have to feel that you're actually doing something that has value to people. And every single morning when you wake up in the morning, that's what actually makes you wake up in the morning, because you will have days and many, many days where things are just going horribly wrong, and you'll encounter a lot of those days. And the only thing that motivates you is just to say, you know, would I do anything else if I didn't have this opportunity? And the moment you answer the question as no, I'd rather do something else, then you know it's game over for you. So that's the thing. So I think, just you have to be ready. You have to really love what you're doing and be ready to take everything that comes with it.
And I'm very happy to know that what you love doing is improving the service of companies. So people like me who live in Luxembourg, the service that we get from companies is going to get better, because up until 4 years ago when you started at your service, it's not always brilliant. Hopefully from now on, all the companies will take it up and it will be a big success.
Thank you.
So thanks for coming in. That's been interesting to follow your journey and then get some of your reflections about being an entrepreneur here in Luxembourg. If people want to hear more of your thoughts or get in contact, what's the best way for them to do that?
So if they want to they can email me directly, bernard@jbit.lu. So that's Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D at jbit, jbit.lu. And they can contact me and we can be able to find out what we can do for them.
Fantastic. And I love the origin of the name JBIT. I never knew that it was you and your wife's initials. So congratulations. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much.
So that's it for today's episode. If you have feedback and questions on this topic or any other, drop me a line at adam.peterson@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn.